Backseat Producers, episode 272, Django Unchained.
I wasn't going to get the tickets. I wasn't going to show up at 8 o'clock in the morning to get the tickets.
But you did.
But I had to get a pee at 6:30. So it was like, fuck, I'm up anyway. Let's just do this. I got up. Holden's already up. Like,
hey,
dude, let's go.
Car.
What? I said, we're going to Walmart. I'm going to play video games. We're going to go buy Superman tickets. Oh, I'll go get changed.
Already in the car.
Showed up at 7:30. There were three people in front of us. They started selling tickets right at 8. There was one person behind us. The two guys at the front of the line were there since 6 a.m.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I can see it.
The guy at the front of the line was Nerdy McLisperson.
Nerdy?
Oh, my God. Nerdy McLisperson.
Oh, no.
That's the worst.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Because then you know that guy's going to be in the theater, and that guy's going to be
nonstop. Oh, he was
Superman!
He was so excited about seeing Superman. Oh, my goodness.
He's wetting himself.
Practically. No.
Could be.
Not this day. It could be. Not this time. So, let's do Star Trek next week.
Okay.
I'm doing Star Trek in my pants right now.
All right.
Bum, bum, bum.
We could do Star Trek tonight. We've seen it. We just uninvite Deuce next week.
Yeah, because he's not going to have seen it. He won't have seen it. Why don't you take 2 weeks off, Deuce? Yeah. You earned it.
Recover. So we'll do that, and then we'll do, we can do Beasts of the Southern Wild, or...
Ooh!
We're still doing that, too.
I forgot about that. We're watching them more, right?
It is not available yet.
What? Oh.
I couldn't...
Not available yet. All right.
Yeah, I have looked everywhere for it. Nobody is streaming it. Nobody has it for sale.
All right, well...
Like, you can't even rent it to stream it. You can't buy it to
stream it. I'm pretty sure Super Horny Brothers counts.
Super Horny Brothers might.
It's pretty much the same movie, I heard.
The plot similarities are striking.
Songs?
Somebody should get a copyright attorney on that and get that worked out.
Yeah, it doesn't even tell me when it's going to be available.
Yeah, I look forward. I found a new app, by the way.
Yeah?
Called Can I Stream It?
Oh, that's awesome!
Yeah.
That is the best.
Yeah.
You don't even need to tell me anything about it. I already know how awesome it is.
The website, I think they've got an iOS app, but I know they've got an Android app. But yeah, you just put in the name of the movie, and it tells you exactly where you can get it.
God damn, Tony. Can I
stream .it is the website.
Checking the App Store. Yes, there it is. Tony, I have a new favorite TV show.
Which
called
one?
Foursome Walk of Shame.
What is that?
So it's on the Playboy channel.
Okay.
All right. So they had a show called Foursome.
All right.
Which is like this reality, in quotes, TV, like even more so the normal reality TV show, quotes, where they just take these four people and then dump them in a house, and then they just film them, and then they bang or they don't bang. Okay?
Okay.
So the show... is so terrible. And the show was so terrible that Playboy recognized that the show was god-awful.
You know what? I think I remember hearing that there was, like, another reality show person that ended up on that.
No, they're just four random people.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, they're just four random people. But, so what Playboy did was they just took the episodes that they shot because they're unwatchable. They're unwatchable. And then they just got a bunch of comedians and then they just rip on the people. It's so
That's
good.
Awesome.
It's so good.
That sounds like me watching The Bachelorette over Julie's shoulder.
It's so good.
Do you think she's going to suck him off now?
Oh my God, Tony, look at it.
Is this not an awesome app?
There's just so many things here.
Yeah, Amour is still not available. And when I looked up the DVD release, it said it was going to be released in March.
Excellent.
So, yeah.
Well, let's see. I can stream this from all these places. Purchase it from these places, too.
It tells you if it's out on DVD, where you can buy it.
You can set reminders.
Yeah. Yeah, when shit comes out, you can search TV.
God damn it.
Yeah, the set and reminders thing is hot, too.
I just had an app boner. God, most pop... You know what? I can't... I'm going to get sucked into this.
Yeah. See, like, I'm looking up The Last Starfighter right now. See if anybody's streaming it. It's been too long since I've seen that movie. Nobody's streaming it.
Sleeping Beauty. Is this triggering it naked? This could only be better if it had, like, a Mr. Skin plugin.
But I can rent it from Google Play, Amazon, iTunes, Vudu, or YouTube for $3.
God damn, this app is so good.
I can buy it for $10. I can buy it on Amazon Blu-ray for $9. Oh, it tells me that I can get it on Netflix DVD.
Mm.
That's nice. So I figured that app would come in handy when we're trying to figure out if something's available to watch for the show.
All right, next week, Star Trek, week after.
Beasts.
Southern Wales.
And then we'll do Cloud Atlas.
Cloud Atlas is like the movie we've been putting off for 6 months.
Well, I'll be able to. I've already seen one of them, and the other two I can get from Redbox. So, mm-hmm. Well, I'll be able to by then.
I'm excited to see Beasts.
It looks like it'd be a good movie.
Thus far, well, I'll just wait.
Hey, this is Tony.
And this is Daryl.
This is David.
We are the Backseat Producers. Deuceless.
Thus far, Django is my pick for best picture of the year.
Really?
Yep.
Of the movies we've seen?
I think it's been the best so far. Of the best picture nominees, at least. I don't know that I would have picked it as best picture overall if I had to pick from any movie. Although I don't really remember what came out last year, so maybe I would have.
It's pretty good.
Yep. But next week we're going to talk about
Star Trek. Into Darkness.
I don't like the way that they structured the...
Star Trek Into Darkness.
No, the into there doesn't feel right. It feels like it should be into darkness, not into darkness. I just don't like the way that they're together. It just sounds wrong.
Well, what they did was it's better than putting IN the number 2 and darkness, which...
Into darkness.
You know
and then
somebody...
turn the E around to a 3.
God damn it.
Made the I in the end of one into darkness.
Oh. Man, so, Daryl, what did you think of Django?
I think this is a really screwed up movie, but I liked it. I mean, it blows through all the conventions of Western, but it's entertaining. I mean, it's kind of like a rather serious version of Blazing Saddles.
See, I don't look at it as a Western.
Yeah, it's really not. It
definitely falls more into the subgenre of a revenge picture.
Yeah, you drop it into there. There's not a revenge. It's kind of like a caper movie more than anything else that goes terribly wrong.
Especially since he gets revenge on the people he's going to get revenge on, like in the first 20 minutes of the movie. And it's a 3-hour movie.
There's a lot of revenging.
Well, let's just say there's a lot of killing.
There is a lot of killing.
There is a lot of killing. All right. So,
but the thing is, it bounces back and forth in a kind of a rather Quentin Tarantino style of being the slow buildup, and then there's a huge explosive release.
Yeah, except...
Does he get the trademark on that now?
Pretty much.
I kind of think that people would bang in forever.
You know, there's not a surprise explosive release in quite the same way as there is in his other pictures.
Right.
You don't have that shocking moment like you have in Reservoir Dogs and Pulp Fiction, where
and
that
in the Bastards.
Inglourious Bastards. Yeah.
But there's a lot of teases in there.
There are teases. There are teases, but when those explosive moments of action happen,
mm-hmm.
they're telegraphed. You see
them
coming.
You see them coming.
There's not a surprising out of nowhere.
I knew one character was going to get shot. I did not know that character was going to get shot at the moment that character got shot.
Which one?
Leo's
character?
Yeah.
Candy.
Candy.
I didn't think he was going to get shot that moment. I knew it was coming.
I didn't think so either, but I'm actually really glad that it was him, mm-hmm. that it was the German that shot him.
Not Django, yeah.
And not Django.
Yeah.
Shaft.
Yeah, Shaft.
Stop.
Jesus.
No.
They did that.
I know they did that. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. I cannot believe we've been talking about this movie for almost a full 5 minutes, and we have only made passing mention to Christoph Waltz.
Okay? Christoph Waltz was great.
Oh my God, he was so good. And then, when he died, I was like...
Might as well just end this movie now.
I don't know where to watch the movie anymore, but it kept going. And I was like, I don't give a shit about Jamie Foxx. I don't give a shit about this other chick. I want him to come back from the dead. God damn, he was so good.
He was my favorite character in this movie.
Yes, by far.
He was the most interesting character. His story was the most compelling. And I liked how he just helped Django.
Yes, there wasn't anything weird about it. They didn't have to come up with some stupid, shitty side plot where he was trying to manipulate him. He was just a decent guy. And then in the end...
Well, his only motivation is that, hey, you might know these guys that I'm after, but I'm going to help you. And then when they get to the point of helping him, when they're ready to just walk out free and clear, he's like, you know what? This is bullshit.
Yes, that was his mistake.
I know that it wasn't even a mistake. He made the conscious choice because he knew how it was going to go down.
He knew how it was going to be. It's so good. He's like, all right.
He just couldn't stand the idea of having Calvin Candy win. Even though he'd actually won. I mean, they got what they came for. Maybe not quite the way they wanted to, but...
I don't even know if that was his motivation. It seemed to be more that he just was disgusted by everything about Calvin Candy,
It's interesting. So in the trivia notes, it says that Christoph Waltz wouldn't do the movie unless his character didn't do anything bad or wrong the entire movie. And
wow.
So, yeah, so like the shaking of the hand is almost him condoning Candy. So that's the straw. He's like, yep, not even going to do that. Oh, that was, I read that, I was like, oh, God, that's so good.
That is good.
That's so good.
And there's that little weird touch in there, the little Blazing Saddles touch, when all the bagheads are trying to attack the wagon, and they're sitting there arguing over their masks. Okay, now did suddenly Mel Brooks direct this little portion of the movie?
That shit was great, and Jonah Hill was there!
Yeah!
What's going on?
Yeah, he just kind of randomly showed up.
Showed up for like a scene and then disappeared.
Well, there was a bunch of them that I'm like watching the credits going, I didn't realize all those guys were in this movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
It just kind of like these little weird touches here. Just occasionally, I think Tarantino mocks his own style.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what he did in this whole movie.
Yes. He took all the things that he's noted for and didn't do a lot of them or did them weird. There's no overhead, not a whole lot of overhead shots, not a lot of tracking shots through walls that he's typically noted for. Now, he did make one homage in the beginning of the movie when we see Django walking in the chain gang and the credits are displayed before his face.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a touch right back to Jackie Brown.
Yeah.
And as the movie's the opening theme moves along, you notice they're moving somewhat faster and faster. So he throws his little homages back to his earlier movies. Here and there.
Not only did he have homage to that, how did you guys watch this movie? Stream?
Yeah.
On DVD.
DVD. On the DVD copy that you looked at, did you happen to look at the scene selection?
No, I didn't. I just watched it all the way through. I watched the bonus features afterwards.
So the DVD that I had skipped at one point. It like locked up, froze. So I had to stop it, eject it, put it back in.
DVDs and
well.
I got an app you should try.
It's not iTunes, because I'm not using that shit.
No, it's Can I Stream
It? Can I Stream It, yeah. So I had to go to the scene selection to find the scene where I was so I could get past that little part. Mm. When I did that, it came up with two choices. One was scene selection, one was music selection. And it showed clips of music, and it was, and basically they took all these different clips of music from classic westerns and different stuff, and they showed you exactly where that piece of music was dropped into the film. And Ooh. They showed you just like the 10 or 15 second scene that's like, Ooh. This music is from this, and here's the scene. And you just see, and it's like, you're seeing 15 out of context seconds of the movie, but that was the music that, and you heard the whole piece of music play through that, and the scene end, and that portion ended. I thought that was pretty clever. That's that was cool. Nifty the
well,
way
also,
they did
just
that.
On the soundtrack alone of this movie, it's kind of all over the place. I mean, it's going through classic westerns, jumps into 60s protest songs.
Yes.
And like, I said, like, what the heck is going on here? Now, granted, they all kind of fit in a weird sort of way, but they're kind of just joining to hear, you know, Richie Havens start doing his a vocal rendition of Freedom in the middle of an action scene.
Well, Tarantino has really good taste in music that fits appropriately to the movie. Like, Reservoir Dogs had, like, zero budget for music in the movie, but the music is so good for the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, and I liked how clever it was that the music was all over the place, but it fit. It wasn't... It was odd because it was like, wow, I wasn't expecting to hear that song here, but it fit the scene.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And again, his sound editor took some really good pains to make everything fit on this thing. And the soundtrack album alone sounds pretty decent. I mean, a pretty good lineup there, and just for that as a added feature.
So is Samuel L. Jackson blacker for this movie than he's been in other movies? He looked blacker to me. I don't know if it's. I don't know what it is.
Well, he played a pretty out of character. Character. I mean, you don't think of him as Sam Jackson being the kind of like step and fetch it house servant of Leo DiCaprio. And it's just like it was really disjointing to watch. It's kind of like really odd. You know, you think of him as a rather lead actor and watching him play a rather subservient role, both mentally and physically in this movie. It's it was weird. Now he's Samuel Jackson. You can't miss that. But he's playing, the whole thing as Samuel Jackson would.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a weird dichotomy between Stefan and Candy. It doesn't seem to be a terribly master-slave relationship there. It's a little closer than that. Because, he's able to get away with saying a lot of stuff that would get anybody else in trouble. And that scene in the library he has later, he's taking a pretty superior role to Candy, almost like a fatherly figure, like, AK's son, you're being played. And he's, like, taking a lot of liberties there with describing this. But, Candy seems to trust his judgment pretty well. And that was a rather a strange relationship between those two characters.
I don't like seeing him with hair. Bothers me.
Who's that, Sam Jackson?
Yeah, bothers me. I need to see his full scalp at all times. Otherwise, he could be hiding something. He's just one of those people. He might just kill you at any second. And it's not a racist thing. It's not because he's black. It's because he's goddamn Samuel Jackson.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
He was good. He pulls off creepy, manipulative, that guy very well. I was very pleased with what he brought to the movie.
And DiCaprio, is playing a role against his own character. I mean, just being a sick, sadistic bastard that is just, his cruelty is just so casual. I mean, okay, take this hammer and beat that guy's head in. It's like no big thing. I do it every day,
I liked DiCaprio in this role. I thought he knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, he was good.
Of the actors in this movie, I thought that if you look at the kind of, you could basically say there were four leads, especially toward the end of the movie, with DiCaprio, Jackson,
Waltz
and Fox. I think Fox was the weakest of them.
Yeah, easily. Well, I don't know if he was the weakest.
He was the weakest character.
Yeah, he didn't have as much to do.
Except look menacing.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. I was just kind of, while you guys were talking, I glanced through the trivia, and Will Smith was approached to be in the movie. And he actually declined because he saw that, here it is, he decided to pass on playing Django because he did not ultimately see the character as the lead. Django wasn't the lead, so I was like, I need to be the lead. The other guy was the lead. I was like, no, Quentin, please, I need to kill the bad guy. I thought it was brilliant, just not for me.
Yeah.
And it was. I mean, I didn't expect it to be that way when I started watching the movie, but it became clear pretty quickly that, what's his name?
Christoph Waltz.
Well, I know Christoph Waltz, but...
King Schultz.
King Schultz, yeah. King Schultz was... He drove the action in this movie. He drove... What story. Happened?
Even beyond that, that dude acted circles around Christian. Like, having the two of them in a scene together was awkward. Because he's so goddamn good.
I think the best acting Jamie Foxx did is when he took on the role of the Mandingo expert, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That scene between him and Leo, when the guy is being torn apart by dogs and they're just staring each other down, that was great. I thought Jamie Foxx was like, okay.
Yeah, that was a great scene.
A lesser actor could not have pulled that off.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the problems with Jamie Foxx, I don't know where necessarily with Jamie Foxx, is with the character.
Yeah.
There just wasn't much there.
He doesn't have much to do.
But that scene right there showed you why Jamie Foxx is actually a pretty decent
actor. Yeah, no, and I don't think that he did a bad job. I just don't think that...
There wasn't much there for him.
It didn't require much of him.
Until then. Until that whole sequence when the guys are staring at him and he's talking them down, you know, don't you stare at me, don't even look my way, boy, and just,
it's the same problem that I had with Looper. It's the same problem I had with Silver Linings Playbook with De Niro, like Bruce Willis and Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Looper, and then De Niro in Silver Linings Playbook. That character doesn't need much.
Right.
That's never going to be the defining character of somebody's career.
Yes.
Christoph Waltz gave an incredible performance. If that dude goes on for another 30 years, you'll look back and be like, man, that guy was really good in Django Unchained.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I think what makes him such a compelling character is he's just so calm and retiring. I mean, okay, shoot that guy in the field over there. Just like, eh. It's like, no big deal. Just do it. I do it all day. Oh, by the way, I'm going to take you into this bar and give you a beer and chase everybody out, and then I'm going to shoot down the sheriff in cold blood. Like, it's no big deal.
Yeah, he's got it all figured out, and he's likable.
Yeah.
You don't see that in characters very often.
He smiles when he shoots you.
Mm-hmm. And he's got got reasons.
Yeah. It's business. Nothing personal.
He's a decent guy, and there aren't very many decent guys in the movie.
It's just business. Yeah, it's just business. It's not personal. It's never personal.
Yep.
It's always a business.
It's a dirty business.
Until the end. Until Candy.
Well, he just kind of get personal in the middle, too.
Well, I think that's...
I fought you, and I'm setting you free, so I kind of feel responsible for you. And I've never had that before, so...
Well, I think one thing that drives the Schultz character, well, it makes a sort of an interesting thing about him, is he's always gunning people down from a distance. Or he has a reason to. I mean, it's like I say, it's just business with him. But until he comes into contact with someone like Candy, who's just a sadistic monster, he's never really faced, you know, true evil up close and personal. He's always been at a distance, whether it's at the end of a gun or at the end of a rifle. But, you know, he never really talks too much to any of his victims. Well, maybe to the two characters in the beginning, but, you know, they were threatening with a shotgun and keeping him from his goal of getting Django.
Yeah.
What do you see over there?
The film's release was delayed in China by state censors in April 2013. Their requests included, quote, turning the blood to a darker color or lowering the height of the splatter of blood. The blood splatter in this movie was ridiculous.
Oh, yes.
Is there an Asian short joke in there? Lower the height of the blood splatter?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
This is what I did not get from this movie. I did not get the overwhelming racism of this movie.
What do you mean?
Like, when this movie came out, there was a tremendous amount of backlash about how racist this movie
was. Oh, Spike Lee.
Well, yeah.
It was mostly from Spike Lee because he didn't like somebody else using the... He didn't... I think his biggest problem was the fact that a white director had actors using the N-word. You know what? Well,
it was set in 1858.
You know? Yeah, it was set... It was... They very clearly stated, this is before the Civil War. This is a culturally okay way of doing things at the time.
This is 1858, not 1982.
This happened, and when you watch this movie, that should make you not okay with the way people are treating people and talking about them. You should not feel okay with that.
Yeah.
There is no glorification
of any of that. And,
no.
Well, the Republicans had a problem too, because it was like, getting paid to kill white people is the best.
That was, I actually thought that was hilarious. Hilarious too. Yeah, he was a former slave and he got paid to kill white people. I'm actually kind of okay with that.
I understand.
I thought it was odd that nobody called him on his scar, because I thought that would come up, but they never called him on that. Like when he was being the Mandingo expert, because he was a Freeman, he was Django Freeman.
Well, I mean that was the thing about it. Like even in the end, when they were carting him off to the mine, he's like, "Do I talk? Do I sound like a slave to you?"
Yeah.
And as soon as he adopted that persona, they didn't treat him like a slave anymore. I think because of that persona. Like, they just weren't used to...
So they being that self-confident and aggressive.
Yeah. We don't have this in our slaves.
The only problem I had with any of the actions that he did was actually killing those Australians. I didn't really have a problem with those guys.
There were Australians there.
Yeah.
That was weird.
It was weird, but I didn't understand why he felt the need to kill them.
They were just in his way.
Yeah. But that could have been cannon fodder, too. I mean...
Yeah, they were going to go with him.
They're going to go... You're going to go with me to shoot other people. You know what? That's three other guns that are aimed and three other targets.
Well, that's
that
just it.
Aimed.
It's also three potential problems if they change their mind along the way and start thinking about what they're doing.
They had thought it through.
No, they were going don't really to. Happen. They're not really thinking it through. They're just thinking, oh, we can make a lot of money real quick.
Yeah. I don't know. It just it seemed like an odd choice to have him kill him at that point.
Yeah, I don't know that.
But
that
see, that's just it. He at that point, Django has become pretty much like King Schultz. You know, they're just in. It's nothing personal. You're just in my way.
Oh, I don't.
He might see himself that way, but that is not what happens there.
Yeah,
I mean, if he had some loyalty to the other slaves, if they would have.
There needed to be something there.
Just a little just something. Yeah, it was just a little bit too sudden. And I didn't get... I mean, they were good guys. They're like, hey, we're just slave traders, you know? It's like, it's not a bad thing. This is just what we do. I mean, they weren't... They didn't seem to be evil, vindictive bastards. But the stories that we were told about them by Sam Jackson's character, maybe they were.
Yeah, I guess I
don't
can
know.
See it.
I don't know.
It still seemed a little like there needed to be something else there.
There was a little bit of a disconnect for how that happened.
Yeah.
If that's my only complaint about this movie, though, that's not much. It's a good solid flick. When I first saw it, I thought that it was a little more mainstream than some of what Tarantino does, but in another way, it's not, because it is so much of a revenge movie that just the ridiculous blood spatter. That was just
gore fest.
It was comical.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was so over the top. Like they were just shooting blood bags instead of bodies.
Mm-hmm. Of course, Tarantino getting blown up in the end was kind of cute too.
That was good.
Man, Tarantino got fat.
He did. Yes, he did. He's
fat Leodama Tarantino.
He got soft.
Soft. Yeah, I mean, generally, I mean, the amount of slavery and gratuitous use of the N-word.
Blood, guts,
I didn't feel it was offensive.
I don't think that's... I wouldn't say it was racist.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, why is it racist? I mean, if you're going to look for a reason for it to be racist, is it racist because a white man had to buy him to set him free?
He didn't buy him.
Yeah, he did.
No, he didn't.
Yeah,
he killed both of the brothers. He didn't give him any money. At that point, he just stole them.
He did. He did kind of do that.
He did buy a bill of sale, though.
That's true. He did have.
I think he did give him the money too.
He did, and then he took the money back.
Mm-hmm. Did he take them? I thought he left it there for the other slaves.
No, he told them, you know, shoot the son of a bitch and run.
I don't remember off the top of my head now.
No, he never bought him.
But he set him free.
Yes, he did set him free. That's why he had the thing. He said, "I've set you free. If you'll work with me on finding these three guys and killing them." That was the original plan.
Yeah, to call that in any way racist is a real stretch.
Yeah,
but how do you say it's racist if you're depicting the conditions of that time?
Yeah, exactly. I think if you're just talking about the idea of you had to have a white man come and save him to get him to the point of being able to be free, and then train him how to do these things. I'm playing devil's advocate because it's a stretch for me to be saying these things. I'm just trying to understand anyone who you would call this racist because I don't see it.
To be fair, this isn't exactly a historical piece.
No. So well, and that, I think that's another point that Spike Lee brought up.
I'll tell you what, any Hollywood movie is not going to be the History Channel. It is entertainment first.
Right.
And this has got Tarantino's fingerprints all over it. I mean, The Inglourious Basterds was not World War II history. It was anti-history.
Yeah.
I didn't find that racist either. It just was. Damn, Christoph Waltz was good.
Yeah, he was.
He's really good.
He
deserved both of his nominations.
He needs to get an award soon. A big one.
I thought he won for Inglourious Basterds.
Did he? I think he might have.
It was best. He got best supporting noms for this and Inglourious Basterds. That's crazy. Neither of those were supporting roles.
This was definitely not a supporting role. No.
Yeah, it's crazy that he got. Well, and then he lost to. Damn it. He lost to somebody. Get him on the line. Tell me who he lost to.
Well, it was. He says that not until he met Quentin Tarantino that his career in Hollywood took off. His role as Hans Lana in Glorious Bastards catapulted Christoph from a lifetime of working in German TV film to a lifetime to the new international superstar category. He won 27 awards for his performance as Hans Lana, including, let's see, he won a Golden Globe for Best Supporting Actor.
Oh, there it is. Yep, he won. Actually, he did win both times for Best Supporting, which is crazy.
He's going to be in the new Terry Gilliam movie, too.
What new Terry Gilliam movie?
The Zero Theorem.
Watch your face.
Watch your face.
I don't know anything about that.
Comes out in December. A computer hacker's goal to discover the reason for human existence continually finds his work interrupted thanks to the management.
This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard already.
They send a teenager, lusty love interest to distract him. Christoph Waltz, Matt Damon, Tilda Swinton.
Tilda Swinton.
I don't recognize any of the other names.
Oh, Daniel Day-Lewis got one for Lincoln. That's who it was.
Yeah.
Tommy Lee Jones. Oh, yeah, yeah. He should have won. Because he was against Alan Arkin, although he was really good in Argo.
Yeah, he was good in Argo.
Robert De Niro for Silver Linings Playbook.
There wasn't much there.
Yep. Philip Seymour Hoffman in The Master, which I didn't see. I
haven't seen it yet.
And Tommy Lee Jones in Lincoln. Yeah, he should have won. Yeah, he did win, but
he did. He won. He won for best supporting, which for is Django crazy. And Inglourious. For Inglourious, okay.
Yeah, I can.
That's
see that.
Such a huge cast.
Yeah, there was a million people in it.
But if you're going to call Jamie Foxx the lead actor just because his name was in the title, that's
weak.
That is weak.
Yeah. Bum 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 bum. Shooting people, slavery, fighting black dudes, dogs.
It's not
the light. That dog scene was rough. Mm-hmm. Not as rough as the Mandingo fight in the first one in the office.
Oh, yeah, that was rough.
That was brutal.
Some rough stuff. Whoa. What's going on here?
The tagline for this movie was, "The D is silent. Payback won't be."
That's good. That dude who approached him at the bar, he's like, "What's your name?" Django. "The D is silent. I know. He was in the original Django." That's awesome.
That is awesome.
I appreciate that.
We haven't really talked about the one actor who was totally wasted in this movie. It was Kerry Washington.
Don't know who that is.
She was Brunhilde. She was Django's object of desire.
Was she in something else? Is she a good actress?
Well, the thing is, other than just being in a few scenes that she was in, she did okay, but... I think she was pretty much terribly wasted in this movie. I mean, she could have been off camera for about as much. Well, she was off camera for quite a bit of. But she's mostly noted for doing Ray, The Last King of Scotland, and Mr. and Mrs. Smith. She hasn't been in a whole lot of movies.
Not in movies. She's on that TV show Scandal.
Okay.
She's the lead. Makers?
No, Scandal. There's a TV series called Scandal. It's about, I don't know. I don't watch it.
Is it directed by Carl Weathers?
No. I know where you're at.
Me and Debris are there.
I smell what you're cooking.
Yeah. Me and Debris are cooking something.
She was in Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer.
Ooh.
She was Alicia Masters, another the blind chick.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, so this TV show Scandal, I think she's a lead in that.
Oh. She was not a lead in this movie.
No.
She was hardly
if there's an award you can get for being less than a supporting actor, she could have gotten
supporting to the supporting actor.
Best extra in a movie. There was not much. She was not in this.
Assistant to the assistant manager.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was going to say. She was like a terribly wasted actress. I mean, I feel a little bit more of her backstory in there, but geez, she was hardly had too many lines. Now, the only problem is some good skin shots there.
Her character was the MacGuffin.
Yeah.
She was the trophy to be won.
Yeah.
And
they tried to truss it up with something that wasn't like there was something there. Whoa, she speaks German. I don't think that's enough of a person.
Well, it's just the only reason they left. I mean, the only reason that was a decent hook at all was because it gave a really good excuse for
King
to get to be interested in her. Aside from that, there's that and her goofy ass name,
mm-hmm.
Broomhilda von Schaft.
God damn! I want a little cart that's got the bouncing tooth on the top of it.
I would
drive that shit everywhere. I traded my sunroof for that.
We'll have to get you one of those.
Birthday's coming up.
I know. Next week.
Hide all your money in it.
Yeah. Probably wouldn't do that.
You won't be in your 20s anymore.
That's the worst, I know. Probably just kill myself in my car here one night. Driving to the river. Just let it take me.
On the way back, we get one last recording out of you.
It's true.
It's gonna be real Star awkward. Trek.
It's going to be real.
You're going into darkness.
Real awkward recording. Also, side note, guys, I'd like to leave this to this person.
We're recording it all. I better make sure that I'm actually recording that episode.
Now I'm going to go home and set up a Death Watch page. I could get arrested for that. I don't really want that.
Yeah, you don't need that mess.
I don't need that mess. Be committed for 72 hours or whatever.
Yeah, I thought it was a good movie.
Yeah, thus far it's been my pick for, out of the movies we've seen, my pick for best movie.
I'd have to agree with that somewhat. It's in terms of just the action and attention ratio, it'll keep you.
It'll keep me. I don't think I'll ever watch the whole movie again. If I watch the movie again, I'll just turn it off when Christoph Waltz dies.
That's where the movie ended for me. It was the day the music died.
Candy died. He won.
Yeah.
He was a leaf on the wind. And
yeah.
He landed the ship and got impaled. Yeah. You know, that was it. His story was over. All right, done.
I'm finished. Yeah, I can see that. I'm all right with that.
Aside from that, I mean, I think I could probably, I think I would probably enjoy watching Silver Linings Playbook again more than I would enjoy watching this again.
I don't think I can get through it again.
I like
Jennifer Lawrence is nice eye candy, but not sweet enough to get me through.
It's not even that.
There's Yoga Pants, which is a compelling argument, but can't make it. I can't deal with his manicness.
That's what I enjoy about it.
It's like biting tinfoil.
It's a good performance.
It's a great performance.
That's why I like it.
It's too good. Not good enough to win.
We've got a couple more movies, though.
No, I mean, not good enough to win against Daniel Day-Lewis.
Oh, no.
In the movie we already saw.
Yeah.
Daniel Day-Lewis was great. The movie was not.
No. He was a compelling character to watch.
Yeah.
There just wasn't a good story to watch him in.
He was no Christoph Waltz.
No. No, that's...
If they'd been head-to-head, I would have gone with Christoph Waltz. Yeah. Easy.
Yeah. They should put those two in a movie together.
That'd be explosive.
They should put them in a movie together where Christoph Waltz is doing Daniel Day-Lewis and Daniel Day-Lewis is playing Christoph Waltz.
You know what? They could set both of these... Holy shit. You could have Lincoln meet King. Prequel to both movies.
Oh, yeah, and then it comes out. He's like a secret agent or something. Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Set 10 years earlier when Lincoln is still a lawyer working in Springfield and riding the circuit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
That's gold.
It's grinding.
And they're fighting zombies.
I don't know.
No, but I would pay to see that movie.
I would pay to see that, too. Hey, are you excited for World War Z?
I don't know.
I'm not.
I've never read the book.
I don't give a shit about the book.
I don't really care about zombies. The only thing that's interesting to me is the little bit that I've seen in the trailer seems like they're doing things that make sense in a zombie apocalypse. Like, hey, let's go get on an aircraft carrier. That kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Aside from that.
You're more with sails, I think. The aircraft carrier is propulsed by fuel. So eventually you're going to run. Like, when you run out of fuel with the aircraft carrier, how does it move?
Aircraft carriers are nuclear powered. They have enough uranium in them to last them the entire lifetime of their ship, which is about 30 years. So that'll be their last problem. They'll run out of food long before they run out of power.
Yeah, the problem is if they have one infected person on the boat, they're potentially screwed.
I don't listen to me.
Buzzing. That's my work cell phone.
Oh, it's dying.
I never use it. After I have to vaguely remember to charge it about once a week. I forgot. So it's dying. It's dying. It's
for you.
Yeah. It's doing its death vibes.
Feed me, Seymour.
Yeah, I'm not excited about it at all. Like, I thought when it first came out that they were using the zombie apocalypse as a way to get people emergency prepared. I thought that was a clever joke 10.5 years ago, but it's still going and isn't funny anymore. And they're not.
Oh, it never really was.
Not funny. Getting. Well, I thought it was clever.
It's clever, yes.
Like, I understand what you're doing.
Cleverness is running out. You're right.
Oh, no, the cleverness ran out.
It's an overused meme. But the thing is, of all disasters, it's the one the most likely to happen.
Zombie apocalypse?
Well, a pandemic. A plague.
All right. I can see that.
A death plague, yeah.
But I don't think the dead are going to get back up. And I don't think I understand that there's a degree of symbolism with the dead getting up and chasing me around and spreading the plague that way, but...
But as you're right, it is an overused meme now.
Yeah, that doesn't look good.
Zombies need to go away.
Although, you know what's weird about it? In that movie, Brad Pitt is married to that one chick from The Killing. That is a mismatched pair. Muriel.
I don't know who that is. I don't watch The Killing.
All right, so The Killing was this TV show.
I know you and Luke geeked out over
it. Yeah, no, it was good, but the show was weird. Like, they have attractive people in it. But everybody in it is hideous. And I don't know if it's the way they show. Like, I'm sure it's intentional. But, like, that chick is a supermodel, and she looks hideous in the show. And it's by intention. Like, they have her wearing the ugliest clothes, and, like, they have done her makeup specifically to make her...
scale.
Yeah, they have done it specifically to make her ugly. Like, everybody in the show is ugly.
That's weird.
But, like, in that, she looks... supermodel hot in it, but she just looks really mismatched with Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
This is me reviewing the movie from the trailer.
Yeah, I don't...
And how did the zombies get onto the helicopter?
I don't know.
We'll have to watch the movie to find out.
On the airplane? Oh, no, I gotta see the airplane.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe.
The helicopter, though, it only seats six, and two of those people have to be, like, super focused, like... You're pretty sure you're not bit when you get into the helicopter to fly it.
Yeah, I don't know. And they've done...
Something went wrong.
They've fairly well obfuscated the look of what they... Of the zombies at this point. We've not seen anything close up.
Mm-hmm. So it could be... Like, they could just look normal.
Yeah.
And, like, you could turn at some point. I don't know. The helicopter is the weird... How is that... All right.
I see. You're trying to review it from the trailer, so let's watch the whole movie and see.
I'm not going
to
see
it. I just have so many problems with zombies in general. Like, especially when you talk about, like, The Walking Dead. Now that they're, like, a year into this.
Yeah, there should be, like, zero zombies around.
Exactly.
Like winter should have fixed the zombie problem.
Winter should have fixed most of the zombie problem, and just the fact that there needs to be a sustainable fuel source for a body to continue moving.
Mm-hmm. After a while, they're going to run out of power.
Yeah, exactly. They have to continue eating something.
Yeah, but a horde keeps appearing. That's really not my biggest problem with The Walking Dead, though. There are many story problems.
There are many story problems also. But arguably...
Thank God Andrea's dead, though.
Oh, yeah.
Thank God. She was the worst after Lori.
This last season, until the last... three episodes they were headed in a good direction. Then the last three episodes just kind of stalled.
Yeah.
But
yeah. I kind of feel that way about Game of Thrones right now, but it's not the problem.
Have only seen one episode.
Oh, you're missing out. Problem is I know what happens at the end of the season and I know how good it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't care about anything else. Like it is get angry good. If I didn't already knew what it was, and if I saw it happen, I'd be like, what the shit? I gotta stop watching this.
Well, it's only got two more episodes to go, so...
I know.
Then I can finally get it on DVD and watch the whole damn thing.
Peter Dinklage is going to bang some chicks.
I know. The Peter Dinklage fan club is growing exponentially by the second.
No, not Tyrion. Peter Dinklage.
As I said, the Peter Dinklage fan club grows exponentially by the second. He's already secured a role in the new Avengers movie, so...
Avengers? I thought it was X-Men.
Oh, you're right. X-Men. Yes. I'm getting those two germs mixed.
I would watch him do Force and Walk of Shame. Because that's kind of what he does in Game of Thrones now.
So I think we've run out of topic here.
So, in pre-production right now is a movie called Reykjavik.
Yep.
Christoph Waltz is on board to play Gorbachev.
Well, was this the Reagan-Gorbachev summit in the 1995?
I guess. I mean, considering it's called Reykjavik, maybe. That could be good.
I almost went to Reykjavik.
Why?
I was offered a deal. Contract record for a gaming company.
It did not end up happening.
I guess. Wow, yeah, it is. And Michael Douglas is on board to play Reagan.
Oh,
that could be interesting.
A dramatization of the 86 Reykjavik summit between Ronald Reagan and Mikhail Gorbachev.
You know what this sounds like? This sounds
be
like
very drama-driven.
Slow-moving train wreck, yeah. Where one of the trains is filled with dildos and the other train is filled with fleshlights. I defy you not to watch.
And we're all great
taste.
Getting
it tastes
fucked.
Great together. Man.
God damn.
That could be really either very boring or very interesting, depending on
you know what?
Write
it could
up.
Be. It. I didn't think Frost Nixon was going to be any good. And that
but it
movie
was so what?
That movie was
really,
really
great.
Good. So if this is made in any way like Frost Nixon, I would be down for that. I don't know.
Well, the question is, are they going to be essentially retelling of all the history we did not know until now? Or are they going to be basically just a dramatization?
At this point, there are only three credited cast members.
Okay.
And it's only listed as pre-production.
All right.
So
it has been green-lighted, but it is still in development hell.
That name is familiar.
Who?
Mike Newell.
Oh, that is familiar. I think I know a guy named that.
He's the director. He directed Goblet of Fire.
Oh, that was a average Harry Potter movie.
He also directed Adventures of Young Indiana Jones, Mask of Evil.
Oh, come on.
So this is like his first
major Donnie Brasco? No, he's done other major pictures.
Donnie Brasco, yeah.
Donnie Brasco, he did, it looks like he did some British television.
Anything good?
No. He did Pushington, Prince of Persia, Sands of Time.
Ooh!
Love in the Time of Cholera, Great Expectations. And he is on board to direct Reykjavik.
Oh, I bet he is.
They don't have a date out there yet.
So it's development hell for sure. This could be any time the next
Oh, just slap an X-Man in there. It'll get done.
All right. I got nothing else. Except for my
biospheres.
Except for my excitement for 15 days.
What's 15? Oh,
when I get to see the Man of Steel. Every time I see it, it looks better and better.
I know. And Tony, here's the thing.
There, you know what? Everything I'm seeing is leading me to believe that Krypton has not blown up.
Did you not read the article where they confirmed that?
No.
Spoiler.
Krypton didn't blow up. Why else would Zod
be
showing up? Why else should... Because I thought of it, damn it.
You should be really upset.
They spoiled it for me.
Because they didn't blow up Krypton. Superman fans are already picketing.
Screw those guys. They're not Superman fans.
It's time to grow up.
They're not Superman fans.
Like, you cannot tell me that you're a fan of comics and then not be okay with something in the universe changing.
You can't be a fan of Superman and say that because every time Superman shows up in a different media, they either add to his story, they add to his characters, or they add to his power set. Every time he showed up in the media.
He doesn't need any more powers.
Well, no.
He doesn't need any more powers.
But
they've
changed them a few times along the way. Yeah. But,
The biggest thing I have a problem with the Superman mythos is the popular movies have been doing it, is they keep repeating the same story over and over and over.
Yeah, that's how
for God's sakes, pick one of the alternative Supermans. For God's sake, somebody do Red Sun.
You need a decent Superman story before you do a live action movie like that.
Mm-hmm.
Need a base.
And you know what I would be happy with if they told one just kick-ass Superman story.
Mm-hmm.
Like, pick and let's say
for
let's
the
say,
last 30 years.
Let's hope that, you know, let's say that Man of Steel is that movie, mm-hmm. and it's phenomenal and it blows everything out of the water. And then you take, what's his name that's playing Superman?
Henry Cavill.
Yeah. You take him, and then you do a Red Sun movie. And you do some of these alternate storyline movies. But you have him be that character, okay. Kal-El, mm-hmm. in these alternate stories. That would be... Nobody's done anything like that.
Right.
That would
be fantastic. I mean, they just keep redoing the same movie over and over and over.
Except for their animated stuff. Their animated stuff,
they're brilliant. I mean, that's the aggravating part. There's more going on in the animated side with the Justice League, Superman, and all the other DC characters. And there are a lot better stories.
I watched the opening for Justice League, and it was just a big turd. But then again, I...
Not all of them. Well, not all of them are, though.
Hawk Girl. With a real female hero, or don't put one in.
Under the Red Hood, have you seen that?
Yeah, are you kidding me? Great.
That was fantastic.
That was fantastic.
Wonderful.
It was weird, and it was not a usual Batman story. That was so good.
Mm-hmm.
World War Hulk.
Still haven't seen that one.
Is that the one where he goes to...
But that's the picks up the storyline where he's banished from Earth.
Yeah, nah, I haven't seen that. I watched the one where he and Thor... do something.
Hulk, that was the Hulk Thor movie.
That was the Hulk versus Thor that I was cycling through, and then I clicked it, and I was like, am I really going to watch Hulk versus Thor?
You did,
Turns out I did. Spoiler, Bruce Banner dies, and then the Hulk was just the Hulk. I don't know what's happening. David Banner? Bruce Banner? Why do we keep calling him Bruce Banner?
His name is Bruce Banner. In the old Hulk TV show, they called him David Banner. Because studio execs thought that the name Bruce was too gay.
Tell that to Batman.
True fact. True fact. I know. I know.
Batman, put your face in.
I know. They thought that the name Bruce Banner was too gay, so they changed his name to David Banner. But
that's
like,
also kind of gay.
In the David.
Yeah.
The credits, either the opening credits, I think, they actually show him in front of his tombstone, and it's David Bruce Banner.
That's gay.
Yeah.
That is the
gayest part. Yeah.
Should have just called him John Carter.
Banner.
God damn, I watched John Carter again the other day. I got something I was supposed to work on for Deuce that I'm not doing because I'm watching John Carter too many times.
Yeah, you remember how I was supposed to be practicing my bass? I watched all of Arrested Development.
I watched some of it while practicing my guitar.
I probably should have done more of that. You know, though, there's at least two songs that I think we need to cover. It Ain't Easy Being White and that Runaway Getaway song.
That was good. Goddamn Forget-Me-Nows.
The circle of
forgive me now, Ruby circle. Oh my god!
Oh, all right.
Stupid, forgetful Michael. I think we're out of here for the night. And we'll leave with that humorous note.
Oh my god!
We will see you next week with Star Trek Into Darkness.
Yep.
Into Darkness.
Oh my god, it's the worst. That's what you got to type on the episode.
Into.
One N. Two.
One N. Just darkness. The letter N to Darkness.
We'll see you then.